happy privilege of mine again to be with you here at Byers Run Primitive Baptist Church. I think it's my second time that I've been here. Certainly enjoyed it before. Hope that it will be that way again. As has already been stated, we need the presence of God. And without Him, it doesn't make any difference what we might have studied and what we might have learned. It takes the Spirit of God to preach the gospel, and it takes the Spirit of God for you to hear the gospel. And you know, people who were listening as we drove along the way, as we do a lot of times, listen to preaching and singing. Preacher was preaching, quoted the 10th chapter of Psalms, the first verse, said that the wicked, because of the countenance of their heart, will not seek after God. God is not in all of their thoughts. That's a wonderful thought. You know, we're not of the people that boastfully say, "I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're going to heaven," because nobody does. But it is a wonderful comfort to know that if we are concerned about where we're going, that is the greatest evidence that we are the children of God, because David said the wicked don't even think about it. And we think about it because we hope to go, and by God's grace we expect to go, because we love the things that people love that are described in the Bible as children of God. I'm glad to see each of you that I've made acquaintance with since I've been coming to this part of the country. I'm glad to see Elder Presley able to be here and doing better. Elder Compton, I kind of believe I have met him in Cincinnati one time, but I didn't get acquainted with him like I like to get acquainted with people. I like to sit down and share the things and have a get-together, brotherly love, and join together, because there's a love that we have that, again, the world does not know. They don't understand it. And as Job says, it's so deep the vulture's eye cannot discern it. And it is there because of God's wonderful grace. The song that we sung tonight tells it pretty well. What he said, if this love and grace shined alike on all, then all alike would love. That's just as simple as it can be, isn't it? Jesus said, or John said in 1 John 4:19, "You love me because I first loved you." So you didn't love God and then he said he would love you. That isn't the promise. But if you love God, it is because he first loved you. And that's why that we don't make any attempt to rob God of the glory, because he deserves it all. If he hadn't loved us first, we would never have loved him, because we're not capable of loving God unless he first loved us. I hope that you will utter prayer to God that we will be able to think it's hard to drive all day and fight the traffic that we have now and go through the mountains and then kind of get your thoughts together, collected to preach to God's children. But the Lord will bless us. We hope to be able to do that. And I'm one that prays when I preach that if there's a little child of God in the congregation that is seeking a refuge and a place for their souls to be fed with the gospel of the grace of God. That the Lord's church in this world, that we may be able to describe it in some glory of it, that they wouldn't wait for us to quit preaching where they could join it. I don't like to hear people get up and with all of our shortcomings and failures, old Baptists have, we still the greatest people on the face of this earth. And God's children who are seeking a place to rest and feed upon the things of God, I like to think that what he has done for me, that I'd like to share it with you. And I hope that we'll say something, not turn somebody away, but that would make them want to be part of us and enjoy this wonderful fellowship. It would be, to me, impossible driving from West Kentucky to Virginia at this time of year, and this, we've been coming here several years, but it's more beautiful this year than it's ever been. All the way from here to West Kentucky, we're just about in a direct line. West Kentucky is just about due west, and we're just about due east. And there's a line through here that separates the north from the south, where the beauty of the creation of God shows, seeming to me, more beauty at this time of year than anywhere else that I've ever been, I'll say that. And it's a beautiful drive to drive here the 750 miles that we've come and see the glory of God manifested in his creation. I thought, trying to think of something to preach about, David's expression in the 19th Psalm when he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone throughout. You think it's strange for me to take my glasses off to read, but I'm having some eye problems, and they're not able to seem to do something about it, and I can read better when I'm reading without my glasses than I can with them. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. In the beginning, in the first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That is singular. That means that God in the beginning created the heaven wherein the angels and God dwell, and the earth, which is the only earth there is. We were looking tonight as we drove on over here about the glory of the moon and what a glory it is. And it is in one of the heaven I think David talked about here. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said that he knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, he could not tell. But such a one was caught up to the third heaven, to the paradise of God. And there in the third heaven, which to me is the abode of God in the eternal bliss and glory of God. And the things that Paul saw he couldn't write about and he couldn't talk about. And because they were greater than words can describe. You know, whenever we preachers try to preach on the glory of God, I'm sure they are like I am. When we get through, we feel to have done such a poor job, made such a poor effort to describe the glory of God that we sometimes feel just like everything's been taken out of us. So the Apostle Paul lets us know that there is what he calls a third heaven. And David believed that. And in the heaven that David talked about here is one of them, the atmosphere of heaven, which is the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and every one of them glorifies God. You know, our smartest men in the world today, really, they're so ignorant. They're afraid the sun's going to run out of gas. And the earth will be a chill and freeze over. Well, you know, they think we're ignorant. But we know better. We know the God that created it and put it there to start with. He's got just as much fuel and just as much power today as he had when he put the sun down. And it's going to keep on, because he goes on to say, these glorify God. And so, in that second heaven that Paul talked about, it shows forth the glory of God. And in the earth, which is this first heaven, and I believe the Bible teaches that we are in it tonight. We are in this heaven that God created here, where that all the peace that we have in this world today is right here in the visible church. You know, if we don't have the truth about this, then heaven isn't going to be so great anyway. Because the eternal heaven, if God isn't there and he hasn't loved us with an everlasting love, and it made so much difference. You know, the world says it doesn't make any difference. He's prepared this plan. You can accept it. You can reject it. And you know, by that, it really doesn't make any difference with God. But my brother, it does make a difference. It made such a difference with God that he sent his only begotten son, his darling son, to reveal his love to us. And John 3:16 expresses that when he said, for God so loved the world. And that's not talking about the world that we're talking about, holds the beauty out here and all of. But God so loved the world of his elect, of the sons of Jacob, that's what it is, that he didn't offer his only begotten son. The Bible, Christ offered himself to God, but God didn't offer himself to Jesus, to the sinner, but he gave himself for the sinner. And that expresses God's love. So with that kind of love, no wonder we're looking forward to getting to heaven. Because God is that love, and he'll never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then, we have, the Bible said, Paul said, we got a foretaste. He said, I reckon the suffering of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us when we wake in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And he gave us the church, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I don't know what these brothers, how much difference they make in that. I don't see any of it, because it, to me, It's all God. It's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the church. It is all one and the same to me. And, you know, again, if it isn't that way, then eternal heaven is in the 13th chapter of Matthew, where we speak of the parable. It said a sower went forth to sow. The kingdom of heaven is like a sower who went forth to sow. Some seed fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on thorny ground. Some fell on good ground. Well, heaven ain't going to be that way. You know, it ain't going to be any big I's and little U's in heaven. The smallest that'll get to heaven will be equal with the greatest. There'll be not, you know, that's why that I think something different. Even Abraham. Abraham is the father of the faithful, and great as Abraham was, Abraham won't be any different in heaven than you will. Because, brother, we'll be one with God. That's what the Bible teaches here. So while we're here in this world, there are differences in the way we do. There are some things that we can do and be blessed, and there are some things that we can do to be chastised with. Therefore, he said, some of these seed, they fell. I don't have time to go explain what I think about that, but they didn't do anything. And I think they're all children of God. I don't know whether you believe it is. Some of God's children just simply don't get anything out of the thing. Others get some. Others get happy, and then sometimes they fade kind of away. And then there's those faithful who bring forth some 100, some 30, some 60. They bring forth fruit to God. And they do that right here in the world, because there's where the differences are. But there'll be no degrees up yonder in the glory world. So David says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Every one of them. The Lord's church, if it's functioning in the light of what the Bible says it should be, it brings glory to God. Because it's a glory for us to stand up and tell the Lord's people what great thing the Lord has done for us. Sharing the experiences, some of Brother Elder Aquino here tonight. I can ask, is that the name? Anyway, I got some members down home that came from the same place he did. And I hope sometime they'll have the privilege of talking to him. Because they know more. Brother, they know about how great God's grace is. One dear sister went all the way across the United States from California to North Carolina, met her husband, and didn't know after her physician told her that she needed to change her environment, that it was just causing her to break out in sweats and all this thing. And she didn't know about what the real meaning of God was. Went all the way to North Carolina, met her husband over there. Finally came down, and her mother-in-law was afraid to ask her to come to church the first time she came. Said, well, Lord, she's of another order. I don't know whether she wanted to go with me or not. She came down there and heard me preach, and you know what? She wanted to go home with me. She wanted to go and talk about the things. Because the first, you talk about love on the first sight. The first thing she heard of the grace of God, she said, that's what I've been looking for. And whenever she wrote home, when they said, when the baby was born and said, you ought to come home, she wrote them a letter. She never told them she'd joined a Primitive Baptist church. But she said, knowing how you may feel about it, if you don't want me to come, I'm happy where I am. I found a people that love me and that I love. And thank God, she said, I found out my high priest is in heaven and not in the earth. You know, that's a great thing to find out. That our high priest is in heaven and not in the earth, brother. And he's there. And he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's how great he is. So enough for that. The heavens declare the glory of God. I don't care which one of them. It's a glory here to be raised from a death in sin to a life in Jesus Christ. To hear the gospel of the grace of God with a hearing ear and an understanding heart that only God can give, and rejoice in the fact and be able to say, as Thomas did when Jesus appeared to him, and he could say, my Lord and my God. This declares the glory of God. This shows the glory of God. Not only in the trees, not only in the stars, not only in the hope of living eternally with God, but this is heaven, a touch of it, taste of it here in this world. And it's all because, he said, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. This beautiful coloring that we have today is the showing forth of the handiwork of God. You just can't draw a picture like it. There's not an artist living that can draw a picture like you can see from here to West Kentucky, because you kids couldn't put all the colors, but God can, and it shows forth his handiwork. Day in the day out of speech, every time the sun comes up and goes down and keeps it continual coming on, the moon comes up, the stars shine. Day in the day, utter speech to God's children that he is still on the throne, and yet because he is controlled, we're not afraid that the sun ain't going to come up in the morning. If I didn't believe in God, I wouldn't have any reason to believe the sun is coming up in the morning. You know, when the ark landed on Mount Ararat, and God gave that law to Moses, he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and hot, shall be the order. And the reason, you know, there, I don't think there's really anybody that doesn't somehow or another have enough, though they don't believe in Jesus Christ, believe in God. There's something that, how could you deny? How could you get ready for winter time when the burning sun was back out a few weeks ago? We get to, because we know it's coming, because God said it was. And that's why we're so sure about the coming of the Lord, because he said he was. And we know that this is going to keep on. It's going to be that way because God said it. And when he said it, brother, it's just as sure as it's already done. Day in the day utter speech. You know, I had a little farm back down at home. My best preaching, in my opinion, is down there in the field with just me and God. I have some of the most beautiful, wonderful thoughts. And that's where it was with David. That's what David said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is ever on my right hand. I shall not be moved. A child of God can see God in any direction. You don't have to go look at us. You can see him everywhere because he is everywhere. He's omnipresent. That's one of the attributes of God. So this talks to us. When the sun comes up of a morning, we wake up of a morning. Isn't it wonderful to say, oh God, thank you for watching over me through the night, and I can be able to see the sunrise, the glory of God in that sun that lights the earth, that I can see it again. And there isn't anything like, if you know, a few years ago when they afraid the Russians going to bomb us off the face of the earth. Still think of building a bomb shelter, wanting to build bomb shelters to hide away from it. I didn't find our old Baptist building. My brother, our faith in God is, when we lay down on our pillow at night and go to fall asleep, our prayer to God is, we know that we're falling asleep in the arms of one who is able. And if it's God's will that we'll see the light of another day, nothing can take us out and separate us and let us see. And what better it is to go to sleep at night under the watchful care of a covenant and a loving God with such faith in him that nothing can harm, can overthrow my God, and nothing can harm me. It's his will to keep me in peace till the morning sun comes and rises again. That talks to us, doesn't it? David said it talks to him. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night showeth forth knowledge. Their lines There is no speech or language where they're not heard. My dear friends, aren't you glad that God loved his people well enough that he didn't leave their destiny in the hands of any preacher? There's places that I can't go. There's places that nobody, no preacher can go. But thank God there's no place that God can't go. David says his speech. And on the day of Pentecost, they heard the gospel there in their own language. That was the mystery of it. And you know, they didn't, those that were not of God, they were mystified there. They said, these people, they're drunk. They're crazy. Because they heard those, the word. And every man, it said, heard the language, the gospel in his own tongue. God's still doing that. He's still talking to his people wherever they are. And I, my brother, all he has to do is speak. And it's done. The same God that in the very beginning, that Moses said through Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The heaven and the earth. The same God upholds that heaven and earth by his mighty power. And what a small thing it is to create Christ Jesus in the heart of a child of God and give him ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand the wonderful truths of God. And if God doesn't do it, there ain't enough preachers in the world to open to do it. Because God, you know, that's what Jesus showed John there at Revelation 1 when John said, when I saw him after he told about, he heard the voice of many waters and the candlesticks and all of this. And he said, and when I saw him, that's why that Paul couldn't write about it. There's more glory than Paul could, words could put. And John said, when I saw him, I fell on my face as dead. And he touched me. And he says, fear not. Fear not. For I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. And that isn't all. He says, I got the keys of death and hell. He didn't give them to anybody. No, no, he still got them. He can lock and none can open, and he can open and none can lock. He still got them. Aren't you glad you believe in a God like that? Brother, that's the glory. That's the glory of God. That we're able, by his creating love and mercy, being able to say, as Thomas did, my Lord and my God, and realize that he does have the key of death and hell. And Jesus never lost it. He says their light has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set up tabernacle for the sun, light. As a bridegroom that cometh out of his chamber, as a strong man to run a race. What would be more humiliating to a bridegroom for his bride to see him in defeat and see him in weakness? Because used to, it ought to be that way now. Used to, women looked at their husband as strength. It ought to be that way now. If you're happy, it is. And nothing in the world would humiliate the bridegroom more than being a weakling. Well, you know the Bible says, describes the husband of the bride of Christ, the brother woman, as a strong man. And being strong, how does he run? How does he operate? Does he operate in somebody else's strength? No, he operates in his own strength. He came out of his chamber as a strong man to run a race. He didn't run in somebody else's strength. He ran in his own strength. And he won the battle. He won the victory. You know, there's a glory in that. David saw the glory of Christ in that. Glory in the bridegroom coming out of the chamber with his bride as a strong man to run a race. You know, how wonderful that in all the ages, there's been a glory of God. You know, back in when Moses was dealing with the children of Israel, the backside of the debt, we're going to get the children of Israel. He said, I believe it's the 33rd chapter of Exodus, about the 18th verse. He says, show me thy glory. Talking to God, show me thy glory. And God said, you can't see my face and live. But he said, I'll pass by you. I'll pass by you. And I'll put my hand on you. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And you can see my hinder part. Well, you know, it was a glory to Moses to see the hinder parts of God. It's a glory for the child of God to see him by faith. We don't see him eye to eye. But brother, he hides us in the cleft of the rock of his wonderful love. And we see the glory of God as it passes. And our faith is centered and strong in the glory of God. Prophet Isaiah talking about this.